We're in lesson 8 in the book of Daniel, and we've been doing some introductory things in the book, and I hope you understand what Daniel is getting ready to go through or have gone through already. But we left off in verse 4, if you will, and it says that in the children, Daniel chapter 1, verse 4, children of whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability to in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, these children, once again, as we think about last lesson, was being well-favored and skillful and cunning. Now, in verse 4, if you notice, what does it talk about? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You see that in there? Do you know any other verses that talks about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? Now, think about this for a minute. You say Romans, Pauline epistles. Anything else?
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Proverbs 3, 5, 6. There's some, this is very, to me, this is very unique because Daniel, the children there had the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that Nebuchadnezzar identified. These are very smart people. These are just not your, you know, truck drivers of yesterday, if you will. Now, yeah, I know a couple of you throwing up your hands. Truck drivers are the smartest people on earth. You know, we spent 60 hours behind a wheel of a semi, and we can solve all the world's problems, can't we, guys? You know, and we have the ability to listen and educate our mind with all kinds of things. But think about this a minute. For a second, go to Ephesians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1. I love this because wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is what God really wants in His people, if you will, if I can say that without losing anybody. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance of the saints. You see that? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Colossians chapter 1. What do you remember about Ephesians and Colossians? They're sister epistles. Very good. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we have heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see that again? Wisdom, knowledge. Where do you get that from? Now, the world has wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, don't it? But where would God's people, where would God's...
The Bible.
And you can break that down, and we have in the past, you know, gold, silver, precious stones. That's not going to burn. That's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. If you can take wisdom and knowledge and understanding, it's better than gold, silver, and precious stones. It's not going to ever leave you. That's why when we teach our young kids about what God wants us to do, and as parents, we're going to, you know, when they grow up, you want that instilled in them as they get older. But some of us has older kids, and we watch them do things, and you're like, where's your knowledge at? Where's your understanding? Where's your wisdom? And it's just over and over and over. Go back to Daniel. I just want to share that with you because that wisdom and knowledge and understanding is all through the Bible, guys. Daniel and them had this. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel and his friends are talented young men. They're just not, you know, how do you say this? They're just not, to a king, they're just not peasants, right? Okay? And they must be able to stand in the king's palace. That's what chapter 1, verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he had drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of thereof, that they might stand before the king. Now, what do we find out about how old Daniel was? He's about 14 years old. So he's there 14 years old. To us, that's a young child, ain't it? How in the world? But that's a learning stage. Today's world, it's 8 years old. If they can take a kid's mind at 8 years old, they can change it and corrupt it and do whatever they want to with it. But this, here's Daniel and his buddies are 14 years old, and he's going to feed them the king's portion and stand in them for 3 years. So that makes them how old? About 17. That is talking about social qualities, by the way. How they're going to act. How they're going to stand. You've seen all these people when they have these big presidential meetings or the king's palace and all that stuff. They have eloquent people standing there, don't they? And they're proper and all that. So they are people of grace and social ability. They're able to think and to learn. That's what they want them to do. They want them to train their minds. Apparently, Nebuchadnezzar's giving them an IQ test, if you will. Because he's picking the best of the best. You read the verses in verse 3. He's picking the cream of the crop. And they're going to train them to serve the king's palace. That's what their idea is. The motive that Nebuchadnezzar has in this, that he's going to take these children and teach them the ways and the tongue of who? God?
No.
No, the Chaldeans. So he's going to teach these kids. He conquered them. He's going to take them away. They look good. They're going to be his playmates, but his pawns and stuff out there. He's going to integrate them completely and totally into Babylonian Chaldean society, and you know, so they can do what? Lose their distinction of who they are or who they were, and they become like Babylonians. Isn't that the way you do when you conquer something? You want them to be like you? You look at the world today. There's a country down in South America that's in turmoil right now. You know? And at one time, there was the second... The only one was better in the economy was the United States. And now it's not good down there. And some people's backing this guy and some people's backing that guy. But and the whole purpose in the training and serving the king is completely to be completely and fully blend their children into that society. Listen, think about this for a second. Do you have institutions out there today will take your children, young adults, and train them and teach them to be like them? Not that they can think on their own and be like who they was when they left the home. And you know what? Half the time they don't come back. You ever notice that? Even hey, listen, I'm not just talking about the world system. There's religious systems out there to do the same thing that will lure you away to cemeteries down Dallas, Texas, if you will, and get you down there for 4 or 5 years. And guess what? You may never come back here. Oh, they found me a job over here. I need to go here. I got to need to go there. You know, we know how Paul got the gospel out and how he trained people. Okay? He did go to metropolitan places and got it out there. But they must lose all their distinction and no longer stand apart. They don't want you to be... Excuse me, I don't want you. They don't want Daniel and his three other people we're getting ready to look at to be who they were. You know, listen, y'all know me, and I appreciate you love me very much. We went out to eat last night, little town, little restaurant down where we're living, Cambridge area now. And that woman goes, "Where are y'all from?" And we said, "We just live down the road here." "No, where are y'all from?" And Sherry said, "Virginia." And I said, "You know, we've been up here 19 years. And she says, "You haven't lost anything." You know, the speech. Well, You know, they used to bother me because when I go to places like New York and places, I didn't want to sound like I was from Southwest Virginia. You know what I mean? But when I talked that way, they identified me from England. They thought I was from UK. So we were sharing this last night. I said, you know, if you slow the UK language, British language down, you'll sound just like we do in Virginia. And so, did y'all try to change me, Canton, Ohio area, you know, for 19 years to mold me and you know what I mean? Some people would try to mold you the way they want you to mold. But there's some things you can't get out of somebody. You know, I shared this before. I'm looking at my ancestry, and I've done gone back, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 generations. And it's just like, you can't shake that. You know, the traits. You know your earlobe, if it's attached and unattached, is a trait. Mm-hmm. You know if your index fingers is bigger than your ring finger, vice versa, is a trait. You know your earwax is a trait. You know, weird stuff, your eyes and stuff. So, you know, there's some things you're not going to shake, guys. So y'all just love me for who I am and correct me. You know, I appreciate you correcting me with love, and you're going to correct me today because there's some Bible words I can't pronounce. So you better have the same Bible I have, or, you know, you won't have Ed's version. But look, what Never Can Ever wants these young men to do is completely forget about God and His truths. Listen, we watch people go to institutions, and they can't bring the God of the Bible into that institution. But you know what they do? They give you their God and their Bible, and they show you who their God is. And not only do they show you who their God is, they make you a God. Hey, this ain't nothing new. It started in the garden with Adam and Eve. You had God's word, you had Satan's word, and you know what Satan also introduced that word time? Human viewpoint. And human viewpoint and Satan don't have to do nothing. God don't have to do nothing. Your human viewpoint will make you a God and deny both of them. And what side would that be? You ever notice it always seems like it's 2-1 against God? Mm-hmm. Satan, human viewpoint, that type of thing. But anyway, let's move on. However, there are just some people that you cannot corrupt. You know who Moses was? Do you know Acts chapter 7, verse 22? If you're writing this down, it's fine, I'll read it to you. It says, and Moses was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians. You know, and yet he didn't, you know, yet it didn't corrupt him. He started learning who he was, didn't he? But there was an attempt to be like Moses, to make Moses like everyone else. But I love that when it said he was learning all wisdom. He was an elegant speaker, apparently. And he moved up through the ranks. But you know, when it came to the Word of God, he says, I can't speak that. You know, I'm dumb. And what'd he do? Give him Aaron. He said, Aaron will speak for you. But they make him to socialize him and put him in a system and make him like everyone else and rid him of any distinctions. And if you watch the Ten Commandments, you've seen it work pretty good for Charles and Heston, didn't it? You know what I mean? He had the ability. But as he started to learn some things, I'm just using that as an example, guys. It's not biblical, but anyway. There's something you need to remember about Bible heroes like Daniel. They stood apart. And they separated and distinct from a crowd. Watch what happens to the four guys, okay? You're in Daniel chapter 1, verse 6. Now among these were the children of Judea. Now Nebuchadnezzar took, and we looked at this a couple lessons ago, he had every representative that he could in Israel, all the people, okay? But the children of Judea, Daniel, what is that, Hananiah? Mm-hmm. Mishael and
Azariah,
unto whom the prince of the eunuch gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar. Is that right? Belshazzar, and Hananiah, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. Now, what's going on here? He's changing their names, trying to change their identity. Listen, if you was a Gentile and you become a Muslim, what's a Muslim first thing they want you to do?
Change your name.
If you was a Muslim and you become a Christian, shouldn't you change your name back?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that type of thing. But look, again, what they're trying to do is change their identity. They're taking a 14-year-old children and trying to make them forget where they came from. That's easy to do, isn't it? It really is. And to make them forget about the past. It's a common thing for captives to be given new names. Joseph. You remember what Pharaoh called him? That name's that long. You want to give it a chance? Try? Go to Genesis 41, verse 45. He received a new name when he began to serve Pharaoh. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephaniah something, 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 something. But look at that.
41, what?
45. It's got 15 letters in it.
Wow.
You see it? Who can pronounce that? You gonna sneeze? What is it? Okay, I gave you enough time. Well, how? What is it? Yeah, what a name! I didn't look what it meant, but hey. Okay, let's move forward. There's a lady in the Bible named Hadassiah who had her name changed to Esther. That's Esther chapter 2, verse 7. Esther had her name changed. Jesus changed Peter's name to who?
Simon.
There's something involved in the name of change in the Bible that are trying to affect the character change. Is trying to change the character and drift and flow and distinction and purpose of that purpose whose name has been changed. Now look, there's an attempt to change these boys and to make them just like Babylonians, right? And bring them to the Babylonian system. And there's a pressure upon these men brought into these young men and comfort and change in the strange. They want them to be changed and there's a lot of pressure on them. Now, when we talk about the three Hebrew children, what's a name we use? Yeah. I mean, that's all. It's in our mind. That's their Gentile names. Now, every opportunity is given them to change. And they are given a name change. They're going to be trained and taught a new language. And verse 4, they're up against the educational system of the Chaldeans. We're going to go up against it. Verse 7, they're given new names. And these boys weren't given just any Babylon names. We're going to see what their name changes, just so bear with me. Chapter 4 of Daniel. Chapter 4. Verse 8. You will see that the name given to Daniel was the name of Nebuchadnezzar's God. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was, what we call it, Belshazzar?
Belshazzar.
According to the name of who? My God. You see that? Names were given to the boys according to the names of Nebuchadnezzar's gods. And they weren't just, you know, up against the Babylon educational system. Now they're going against the religious system of Babylon. And you know what? He's trying to acclimate them to this. Listen, there's many of us have been brought up in a religious system. And there's many of us who would look at our kids, he looks like a David. And he looks like a Samson. You know what I mean? We're going to name him Bible people. Well, what does that mean? You know, that type of thing. I know many of you might have looked at your name and what it means and strength and all that stuff and like, okay, yeah, But look, what benefit is that, right? But look, they are offered the king's food and delicacies, the ease of life, the wealth and material things. Boy, don't that sound good? Don't that sound like, I'd like to have that today, wouldn't you? Hey, if somebody offer you wealth, and somebody offer you life and material things, don't a lot of people go for that already? You ever notice, even in a religious system, these well-to-do preachers that boasted in the fact that they got 10,000 people in their churches, as they get older, they don't have 10,000 people no more. And they barely can make ends meet, but they was driving around in airplanes and cars. And I look at them, I'm like, if you, and now it seems to me like they want to tell you about the cross. You ever notice that? Everybody talk about Jimmy Swagger. Oh, he preaches the cross now. I'm like, why didn't he preach it 25 years ago? Why didn't he preach you that the fact that all you had to do is trust Christ, die for your sins, and bury and rose again, plus nothing else? But no, he had a Bible to sell. He had an education system to get out there. He had people to please. You see how well we're doing? We sold our house and the driveway still didn't get paved after 13 years. Never did get that Cadillac.
You're still hanging on to that body.
Still hanging on to it. Oh, yeah, right. look. That is how the world tries to get everyone a little wealth, a little religion, a little wisdom. And you'll see, as we studied Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, is God Almighty wondrously maintaining that individual and the character into those people. And you know what? They trusted God and His Word. Then they said, we're not going to be a part of that. That takes some backbone, guys. That's why I always say, you stand on the Word of God rightly divided, it's more faith to do that than it is any time to jump in to and fro in any religious systems. These four men represents the believing remnant of who?
The Jews.
The Jews, the nation of Israel. Listen, what they're doing back over here is a dress rehearsal of what's going to take place in that tribulation period. Same as Moses being fed in the wilderness, a dress rehearsal of what they're going to take place over here in the tribulation period. Israel. Not the body of Christ. And you know, you can turn your radio on and TV on and YouTube on and all that stuff, and you'll see people trying to make you a part of that system and have you believing that you have to go through that tribulation period. And as Benny and I was talking last week, what they people do today is they don't make you a Gentile. Knowing that, as we looked at last lesson, showed the diminishing of Israel. Lost Israel, not saved Israel. They're sealed, they're over there. What they do, they try to move you up here to become part of Israel. And God's not dealing with that today. Look at this. The name Daniel means, you know what the name Daniel means?
Judge. God is my judge.
God is my judge. Daniel. Daniel's name is changed to who? Belshazzar? Thank you. Thank you. I could listen to that for 45 minutes and still mess that up.
Okay.
You know what it means? It means the Prince of Baal. B-E. Who is the God of... Daniel's name got changed to who?
Belshazzar.
Yeah, and that name means the Prince of Baal. okay, of Nebuchadnezzar's God. You got a guy right here, he's calling him the name of his God. In other words, he is one whom Baal delights in. Okay? That's what it means. He's going to delight in Daniel. Now, Hananiah means the beloved of the Lord. Someone who delights in and has favor towards. His name was changed to who?
Shadrach.
Which means command by Rak. And Rak is one of the names of the sun gods for the Babylonians and Egyptians. See, they just didn't give them any old names. But you reckon they knew what their names meant? Yeah, he's like, wow, he's favor with God. We're going to change him to favor my God. But look, Hananiah has his name changed.
Wait a minute.
Hananiah to someone who God delights it to someone who is commanded by the heathen of the sun God. You know what I'm talking about? God delights in Hananiah. He gets his name changed to Shadrach, and it means a heathen sun god. Now, how in the world are you going? Now, I know I like sunshine, and it feels good, and it brings vitamins, and it's definitely good on the beach and pools or whatever we go to, right? But you don't worship it, do you? Hey, the other morning, I got taken off down the road, and I've got that app that shows you the stars, you know, and I looked in the sky and the sun was crescent, the moon was crescent, and there was Mars, Venus, and there was another one. And they was lined up perfect. I'm like, yeah, it's just like, wow.
I told them, I'm like, go outside.
Yeah, it was beautiful. So I took that phone and I put it right there and it showed you what they were and the constellations around them. And it's just like, and I went, you know, and I'm like, but if you don't look up, you never see that stuff. But I think we talked about, now Mishael means who is like God. Someone who's God-like. His name was chained to Meshach, right? You know the El, and the E-L is for Elohim. You know Lucifer don't have an E-L on? Gabriel does. Michael does. They're representative of God. God-like. And is removed and replaced with Shack. That they take God's name out and replace it with Shack, and which is meaning who is like Shack. Not the basketball Shack. Yes.
We used to study the stars too.
You did personally, or they're beautiful, aren't they? Yeah.
We used to say the stars run our swings. We also
went up in.
Okay, Observer.
We just went up in there because it was kind of cold. We were watching the stars from the swing set.
Nice, nice. Yeah, you were out there in the country. They're wide. You could almost touch them, couldn't you? Felt like it. But look, Shaq is the name of the Egyptian who used to describe the Queen of Heaven. This makes Mishael the servant of the Queen of Heaven. What was that last one? Arez? I'm losing my thought here. Azariah, thank you. Means Lord is my help. Abednego, on the other hand, means I am the servant of Mego, who is the fire god of the Babylons. Now, some of the people out there might think, yeah, whatever. But if you ever did a study of the 10 plagues in Egypt, that was 10 gods of Egypt that God Almighty put down. Those plagues. Each one of them, they served as their god.
Abednego is the servant.
Abednego is the fire god of the Babylons. What the Babylons had done is taken God's name out And these young men apparently had parents who provided godly upbringing and godly input in their lives. You got to remember, they're down there in Judah. Okay? And they were still serving God. And they had, they probably went to synagogue all the time, didn't they? Every Saturday. Gotta go. 12 years old, they're reading their Bibles, guys. And now these young men are faced with going into captivity and getting all their upbringing blotted out in their mind. And changing their names as a temp of the character and bring them into that system. That's scary. I know how it affects you. Some of you may not, but I'm just jokingly saying that. You know, the society today don't want you to be a part of God and His system. They want you to be a part of their system. And I'm saying this with love. There's some religious systems out there will grab you up and convince you it's right. And you know in your heart, if you're a Bible believer, it's not right. Let's move on. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel made up his mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, it's right here. It's a heart thing. We can get confused up here in this battlefield mind and say, oh, yeah, well, okay, this is what they're teaching me. I know people will just do what they say just to pass the test to get out of there. I need that class. You know, I know people that, I don't know how many hundreds of people went through Grace School of Bible. And my understanding, there might have been one person that failed. And he refused the doctrine. You know, he just would not abide by it. Or well, I shouldn't say abide by it, but believe it. And you can't help but it changing you. That he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. This verse is very important, and you need to understand what Daniel is doing here. When he says that he didn't want to defile himself, it is because the meat and the drink, what do you think about those two things?
They were sacrifices to
There
you go. You know it. And it was offered to him to meat and drink that had been offered to idols. Now, what the king ate was the best. And the portion of the king's meat was taken out and offered to idols. And the word meat does not really mean beef, chicken, fish. You know, it means food in general. You know, Howard brought some, what did you bring?
Grapefruit.
You can open up that grapefruit and look at that section and it looks like a piece of meat. You with me? That's meat in general. I've eaten things all the time and said, this is good. This is like meat. And it fills you up. But look, what the king ate was the best. Even the inside, that's what I just talked about, is meat of that grapefruit. The wine is offered in drink offers. You know, last time we talked about the Queen of Heaven a little bit? Maybe. And what did I tell you? Starbucks? Mm-hmm. You look at that, and everybody says it's a mermaid. I think it's the Queen of Heaven. You go in there, they offer you drink offerings and wafers. You know, and people's lined up. I just want one of them things. Okay, I'll try to order give me a cup of coffee. Grande, but you know. No, I want a simple, hot. Well, we stopped yesterday, a little place right here. What is it called? Human Being? And I'm like, they had Americano. And then they had black coffee. I'm like, what's the difference? Well, Americano. So I just want a cup of black coffee. That's all I want. And they got all kinds of things they offer you. And you pay for. But go to Exodus chapter 34 for a second. Exodus chapter 34. You know, a lot of people, what do you call them, vegetarians?
Like first.
We're going to verse 14. But they won't eat, like, what we call meat, right?
Vegan.
Vegans won't eat meat. A vegetarian will?
A vegetarian won't eat meat either.
Yeah, but vegan won't eat like the eggs and the cheese.
Okay. But a vegetarian, you lay out a piece of pork chop, they won't eat it.
No.
But if you lay out carrots, mashed potatoes, well, they'll eat it, right? That's their meat. I know people like that. And you know what? They look good.
It is good.
Yeah. But look, verse 14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto their sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods, and make their sons go a whoring after their gods. The idea is that you don't want to eat something that's been sacrificed to idols because you're participating in that worship that is idols. Now, you may think this is strange. How many goes to, what do you call, without pinpointing anybody, like Indian restaurants? And like food from that era. Mm-hmm. We go. You know, we go to these Indian restaurants, stuff like that. You know, some of the food that they offer you as an appetizer has been probably worshipped to their god in the back. Mm-hmm. You ever thought about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think about that. They don't waste nothing. But they got their god. Listen, I've been halfway around the world twice. And you don't have to go far. And we park in this hotel. I'm trucking, and they give you a room, and you walk by, and they lived in the bottom. And you walk by, and they had a big mural of Buddha right there. You think they go far worshiping places? You think they're going to stop worshiping, sacrificing to their god?
No.
So you're getting this food, guys, and Daniel is faced with a problem here. He's faced with a real problem that's in front of him. Hey, you don't have problems. I don't have problems. I'm just saying that to be ugly. Hey, if you think you got a problem, you just listen to other people around you right now. You ain't got no problem. Mm-hmm. Daniel's faced with a problem. You think you're faced with a problem because our kids won't worship the way we want them to worship? Or our fathers, or mothers, or brothers and sisters. We ain't got no problem. He is being asked to do something that God said not to do. Daniel is. You with me? Hey, that takes a man. He's 14 years old. And he already knows what God wants him to do in his mind. And Daniel goes along with some things. You know that. The name change, the education, the socialization. But he draws a line when it comes to violating scriptures. And that should be a good lesson for all of us. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm never too old to learn. My wife will tell you that. She wishes she tries to change me and teach me all kinds of stuff every day. And I appreciate that. And there's some things I just got to say, you're right, honey. You know, and there's some things I draw a line on, But it can be flesh. But look, Daniel is an example of an absolutely uncompromising life. And if you want a picture of an uncompromising conviction is, look at this guy we're talking about right now. And if you want an illustration of what a Bible standard of separation is, look at Daniel. Paul talks about separation. Come out from under that stuff. Don't eat with the brethren that's been doing this stuff. That's hard. Now, I had a dear brother. Many of you know him. I preached with him. He slept in my house and all this stuff. And guess what? He let the flesh get a hold of him. And he compromised his integrity with who he was in Christ at a pulpit. And what do you call it? He left his wife. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I went to Corinthians. I said, teach me what this verse says. And you know what his reply was? Believe the verse. And you know what I had to do? I had to check them off. I broke contact with this guy. I don't know. Well, how can you do that? Can't you bring him back in the fold? He knows who he is. But the Bible tells me not to even eat with this brother. You with me? Now, does it? If it tells me that, what does it tell you? I don't want to compromise. No. No. This is where Daniel is a good example even for us today. And it's tough, guys. I know it is. People will give you their ideas of what they think, pros and cons. You should be separated from or joined to. This is what I'm talking about. People said, but there is a little discussion on how you should decide. Just a little bitty discussion on how you should decide. You know where you get it from? Dr. Phil.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, you know what I mean? You go out to the fields and you let the winds. If the wind blows this way, I'll go this way. If the stoplight's green when I get there, I won't stop. No. Where do you get the information from? Leon's got it. The scriptures. What saith the scriptures? And the book of Daniel will help you and I with the issue if you struggle with that problem. I have struggled with that problem. I can continue to struggle with that problem. Probably to the day I die. But you know, there's a time when you stand up and it's very clear what Daniel was up against, isn't it? Hey, you ever notice we're not into 8 verses in the book of Daniel, and the first thing he's issue is food and wine and what the king wants to feed him. Now, I'm sure he had to stand up. Like I said, socialization wasn't bad, was it? But I'm going to get ready to close. Daniel's being tested along the lines of faith, his religious conviction, his faith in God and in the Word of God. He's up against a religious system of Baal worship. You think it was big there? You better believe it. You think it's big now? Hey, I got a few more minutes. The book of Daniel will help us that. He's purpose in his heart, and he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. You can purpose in your heart not to look at that. You can purpose in your heart not to eat that. You can purpose in your heart not to do that. That's where it starts. Up here we can figure, well, that's okay. I'm going to die anyway. You know what I mean? The battlefield starts here, but the decision starts right here. You as mothers, you know in your heart sometimes what your kids need, but they want this, don't they? And they want that. And you have to put your foot down and say no. But look, Daniel won't eat the food because it was first offered to idols. And God said, you can do it. Now, I know many of you go out today and you're going to go visit the local the buffet at a restaurant. And you're like, what about chicken? That chicken looks like it's been... you know, dipped in blood a couple of times and, you know, and all that stuff. But look, let's move on. God said, don't be hooked up with Baal worship. You think he wants you to hook up today?
No.
Any way, shape, or form. Daniel said he would not eat the meat of the king's table. He wouldn't have any part of it. We need to stay away from that Babylon system that is described in the Bible. We need to learn to have that knee-jerk reaction, if you will, or like, wait a minute, now this ain't right. And just back off and just keep away from that stuff. Now the question is what does that have to do with us today? Now we're studying the book of Daniel, aren't we? And Daniel is a representative of who? The nation of Israel, a little flock in the tribulation period. you have not experienced, or we have not experienced, a tribulation period that's going to, unlike what's going to take place over there. And many of us know in our hearts, when God's wrath comes down, it's going to come down hard. What is Revelation 17? Go to Revelation 17, and I'll try to close. Yeah, we'll close on this thought here. Revelation 17. Revelation 17, verse 5. And upon her forehead was written, was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth. You know what that is? That's a religious system that is in operation when the Antichrist shows up on the earth. Okay? And it stretches from, in the Bible, you know where it starts in the Bible?
Genesis,
thank you. You know where it ends?
Revelation.
Isn't that the whole Bible? Mm-hmm. From kiver to kiver? Mm-hmm. Yes. It stretches all across. So don't be foolish to think it doesn't exist on the earth today. Because it is here right now. You know, Paul talks about the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That system has not stopped. God did not postpone that system. He proposed a prophetic program. And that religious system is out there. And God Almighty expects us to be separated from that. Listen, when you're truly saved, that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, and you know in your heart that He died for you, and you're out here fornicating with other religions, you think God likes that?
No.
I made up my mind years ago. And I was a fornicator in other religions. And that's what, when God talks about fornication a lot, Paul talks, he's talking about you doing that religion. He's not talking about, you know, fleshly stuff. He's at the religious stuff. It's dangerous. And I know there's times we talk about, hey, let's go over here and visit this church and see what they talk about. Let's go. You came out of that stuff. You know exactly what they teach and preach, right? So what you should be doing? Whatever else you do, whatever else you separate or you are separate from or separate to or compromise, refuse to compromise with that. If you join that religious system, you're not refusing it. And as far as the judgment seat of Christ is going to be concerned, you don't want a part of that stuff. Hey, you know, it took Paul the apostle and young Timothy, when he wrote Timothy was struggling too. You know that? I'm young. You know, they're coming down on me. You know, the Jews are wanting me to do this. And you know, and Paul said, Stand. You know, encourage him. We need to encourage one another to stand on the Word of God, right, divided in today. And it's important to understand that Daniel had an uncompromising life. Listen, there's a lot of things I compromise. A lot of things. One thing I won't compromise is the Word of God in the King James Bible. And two, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I'm a dispensationalist. I believe God was a dispensationalist. And when it comes along with the religions out there, and you know there's a lot of them out there, right? You should draw the line too and say, I'm not going to be a part of that. That's a good start. Is it not? Because the flesh pops up all kinds of things. And you need to know what it is, and you can know by the Word of God. Amen? Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.